Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Naiva tasya kritin artho. Na kritin eha kaschana. Na chasya sarva bhuteshu. Kaschid artha vyapashraya. Naiva tasya kritin artho. Na kritin eha kaschana. Na chasya sarva bhuteshu. Kaschid artha vyapashraya. Na. Never. Eva. Certainly. Tasya. His. Kritena. By discharge of duty. Artaha. Purpose. Na. Nor. Akritena. Without discharge of duty. Iha. In this world. Kaschana. Whatever. Na. Never. Cha. And. Asya. Of him. Sarva bhuteshu. Among all living beings. Kaschit. Any. Artha. Purpose. Vyapashraya. Taking shelter of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. Purport. A self-realized man is no longer obliged to perform any prescribed duty, save and except activities in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not inactivity either, as will be explained in the following verses. A Krishna conscious man does not take shelter of any person, man or demigod. Whatever he does in Krishna consciousness is sufficient in the discharge of his obligation. We all are obliged. We are all dependent. Ekalo Ishvara Krishna Arsho Bhrityo. This is the statement of Krishna Das Gauriraj Goswami. Krishna alone is the controller, and everybody else is just a servant. Ishvara means controller. Parameshvara is God, the supreme controller. Because there's a great hierarchy of existence, everybody is control except for the one person on the top. Everybody else in the chain of existence is both controlled and controller. We are all controlled by someone higher than us. We probably have experience in our lives. We are controlled by our parents, maybe controlled by our older brother, controlled by our employers, by our teachers. Sometimes young people are just controlled by their friends. They have to dress like their friends, talk like their friends, act like their friends, because they're controlled by their friends. Anyway, everybody's controlled by somebody. And also, everybody's got someone that he controls. Even if a man has no family, no wife, no children, he gets a pet dog, and he's the master of the dog. Everybody's a servant of somebody and a master of somebody else. That's the chain of existence. There's only one person on the top who's independent. Ekala Ishvara Krishna. Everybody else has got links both above and below. I guess theoretically there's one person down at the bottom who doesn't control anybody. I don't know who that is. But we do become free by surrendering to Krishna. Because at least if we acknowledge our subordination to the Supreme Person, then we are not subject to being oppressed by anybody else anymore. I've quoted this verse several times, that no, you're not a debtor anymore to your parents, to the forefathers, to the demigods, the sages, or anybody, if you become seriously involved in Krishna consciousness. You're absolved of all your other obligations. It doesn't mean, one, that you can become inactive and do nothing, that now you're retired from everything. No, you still have to work. But you have to work for Krishna now. And it doesn't mean you can be irresponsible. You got the highest responsibility. This is the mark of highest responsibility. Because now I'm acting as representative of Krishna. Maybe I'm not doing anything that's important in the eyes of everybody else. But just to be Krishna's servant is the highest responsibility. I may not have a signboard that says I'm sub-deputy, administrator of this or that, and this is my office where I sit and sleep all day. The registrar of something or other, and once every 3 months somebody comes to register. No, we may not even have a recognized position. But just to be Krishna's servant is the highest responsibility and the highest honor. To be allowed to wear this dog's collar is the highest privilege. Just like a civil servant in a reputable government has to be responsible. He's representing the government. He's supposed to be an honest man. A proper representative. Otherwise, his higher-ups will get rid of him in an honest government. Like that, we are representatives of Krishna. We have to try to live exemplary lives. That's preaching. To just be a proper representative of Prabhupada by living an honest, decent life. You don't have to be a sannyasi with 20,000 disciples to be a preacher. It's a nice facility, to sannyas for preaching, but you've got wife and children, you have to wait for that. You're a young person still going to school, maybe in the future you'll take sannyas. For now, we're living in whatever situation we're living. But we have to preach. We have to preach by at least living an honest life as Krishna's servant, following the regulative principles of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna regularly every day. Then we're proper disciples. And then we can accept the order of our spiritual master. Prabhupada has told us to follow the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yare deko tai ko Krishna upadesh. Maragyai Guruhaya Tare Desh. More Bengali. Whomever you meet, tell them something about Krishna. You, in your daily life, you're probably meeting people. Maybe you're sitting in a shop or an office, having to deal with people every day, all day, constantly. Or maybe you only meet a few people a day, whatever. Maybe you just meet the same people over and over again every day. But whoever you meet, under what circumstances it might be, you should take every reasonable opportunity to enlighten them about Krishna. But it doesn't mean to become obnoxious and just turn them away from Krishna by beating them over the head with what they don't want to hear. You have to be intelligent. Tell people what they're ready to hear, what they're willing to hear, what they're capable of understanding at appropriate times, in appropriate situations. By doing that, we become representative of Krishna in the role of spiritual master. Hare Krishna. Amara Gyai Guru Hayar. Tare Desh. Don't worry about what's happening all over the world. You save your place, your village, by sharing the Krishna consciousness you have. There's plenty of room if you want to move forward. And that way, by becoming Krishna's sold-out servant, slave of Krishna, dasa. As you know, dasa means slave. It's illegal in, I think, the whole world nowadays, slavery. I don't know if it's still practiced anywhere. Although many occupations are as good as slavery, to work in a factory or salt mine or someplace, it's practically slavery anyway. But there's no legal, you know, there's no legalized selling and buying of human beings. But we voluntarily have become Krishna's slaves. And we've all taken the name Dasa. Just like the Sikhs, they all have the name Singh. They're all lions. We're all slaves. Dasas. But by becoming Krishna's slave, that is the key to our freedom. Because we're no longer a slave to anybody else. We used to be. A man may think himself free, just like a conquering hero coming back from war. He's praised and everyone's celebrating his arrival back in the capital. Parades in his honor. He's garlanded with laurels. And then he goes back into his palace, and again he's a slave of his wife. You know, as soon as he steps into the inner quarters. So we are slaves. In material life, we're slaves of so many other people. We're controlled. We let ourselves in our now. I've seen the change in India. When I was first here in 1975, products were not packaged the way they are now. There weren't that many brand names like Colgate and so on. There was, you know, you still see sometimes the old-fashioned, you know, poorly lettered, hand-stamped packaging of goods. Consumerism was not as sophisticated as it is now. And manufacturing was not always so uniform and so up to standard. But life was simpler. Things have changed. Now we've voluntarily, in this country, people have become slaves of the same consumerism that has enslaved the whole world. Yeah. We have to buy the products that have the brand names. We have to follow the taste of everybody else. We have to watch the same entertainment that they're watching in Japan. So the young children in Delhi or badgering their parents to buy them Pokemon cards, because this consumerism has been foisted on them. This is slavery to materialism. But when you sell yourself out to Krishna as his slave, then you become free from all these other oppressing influences. Naiva tasya kritain arto. There's nothing he's going to be accomplished by carrying out his material duties. Nor is there any use for him to renounce his duties. This is a curious statement. An impersonalist is trying to renounce. This is his motivation. He has a very strong sense of repugnance. He's disgusted with material life. He wants to give it up. Therefore, he takes to the path of jnana, looking for liberation. And he wants to stop doing everything. Cessation of all activity. Become inactive. But a devotee doesn't care. There's nothing to be accomplished for a devotee by becoming inactive or by renouncing the things that actually belong to Krishna. Papancha kataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshubhi parityago vayagyam palgu katyate. This is called, Rupa Goswami indicates that this is called inferior kind of renunciation. When you propose to give up because you think they are maya, illusory, material, things that actually should be recognized as the property of Krishna, to be used for his pleasure in his service. You think money is evil, money is nonsense, you refuse to touch money. This is your expression of sannyas. But a Vaishnava sannyasi welcomes all the money in the world and he's very happy to use it for Krishna's service. You may think your family is illusion, you want to abandon your family. But that family are the servants, your wife is the maid servant of Krishna, your children are also servants of Krishna. You shouldn't throw them away, you should engage them in Krishna's service. This is true renunciation. So a devotee has nothing to accomplish by carrying out material duties, but he continues doing them anyway because he has nothing to accomplish by renouncing them either. Nachasya sarvabhuteshu kaschid artavyapashrayaha. He's not bound in obligation to work for anybody else but Krishna. Sarvabhuteshu, among all creatures, there's nobody that he's subordinate to. He's a free man. By becoming the completely sold out dependent servant of Krishna. Then Krishna is going to, in a few verses, talk about he also, to set an example. Because the perfect man or the most advanced human being may be free. He may not have any obligation. But he will continue to act dutifully, at least to set an example for other people. He doesn't need to make money or to pay attention to all the fine rules of etiquette and morality, because he automatically will do the right thing. He doesn't have to calculate, am I supposed to touch that with this hand or that hand, and what do I do first before, which mantra am I supposed to chant before I touch my ear, and he doesn't have to think about this because he's being provided transcendental intelligence by the Supersoul without checking in the book what's the right step to take next. He knows spontaneously what's the right thing to do. He has a natural sense of acting right because he's Krishna conscious. One who is in love of God is impelled by that the force of that love to always do the right thing, the appropriate thing. So in the spiritual world, there's no need of any dharma shastra, any rules of behavior. In the spiritual world, everybody naturally, out of the spontaneous impulse of love, always behaves appropriately. Not just toward Krishna, but toward each other. The father treats the child appropriately, the servant treats the master appropriately, the friends treat each other appropriately, without having to be told the rules of how to behave, how a child must behave to the parent, how friends should behave among one another. You can read about this in the Dharma Shastras, but they don't need these books in the spiritual world because they are impelled by love. It's only when we've entered this material realm that we need rules. We need textbooks to tell us how to behave decently in different situations because we become ignorant. Without the power of love, we don't know how to do anything proper. We have to be told. Therefore, we're in this situation where we have to follow Shastra. Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vyavastitao Gatva Shastram Vidanoktam Karyam Kartami Harhasi. Therefore, Arjun, because it's important for you to do the right thing and not do the wrong thing. If you behave against the principles of religion for you in your particular situation, then you will incur bad reactions and you will become degraded. To avoid that, you should always know what is the right thing for you to do. You're in a quandary, whether to fight or not to fight. Consider it carefully. I'm giving you advice, and I'm asking you to make your decision whether to fight or not, based on everything I tell you. But it's very important to make this decision right. We always should know what we're supposed to be doing and what we're not supposed to be doing. So we don't have love, pure love for Krishna, to tell us. Therefore, we have to go to Shastra, to the revealed scripture, to tell us. Most people have to follow the Dharma Shastras, like Manusmriti. But Vaishnavas can simply follow the instructions coming directly from Krishna and his devotees in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in other books written by great devotees, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, the Hari Bhakti Vilas of Srila Sanatana Goswami. These great devotees tell us how Vaishnavas should behave. Prabhupada has given, in his own personal instructions, the gist of all this. He's taught his disciples how to behave. His first disciples were ill-behaved. They were hippies, bohemians. Not very well-behaved, not very what you would call civilized. But Prabhupada made them, he turned the hippies into happies. He made them civilized ladies and gentlemen, to start with. Then he pushed them to become pure Vaishnavas. But first he made them civilized. Got them to give up their nonsense habits and start living a proper life. And to respect the injunctions of Shastra. Prabhupada taught that to his disciples. And in that way they became free from the entanglement of materialism. A devotee doesn't have any material obligation. That's Krishna's message here. Hare Krishna. So anybody have any questions or comments? Bark on the
state of being servant and the hierarchy of existence that you said, there is always the master-slave relationship. But here in the material world, it's considered a misery to be a servant.
It's a misery, but we can't avoid it.
And,
Yes.
To be under the control of someone. It's said that there are four kinds of miseries. One is change of body, another is... So, but the last one of that is that to be under the control of someone.
Yes.
So, how is this reconciled amongst those who are in the spiritual world?
Well, you can't. People in the spiritual world also have bodies. Can't, you know, you can try to be disembodied, but that's unnatural. Some people go strive to enter the Brahmajyoti and become disembodied. But it's not a satisfying or a natural position. Because the spirit soul has a spiritual form. You can try to obliterate that. You can't. You can't get rid of it. You can only forget it or hide it. Similarly, we always have bodies, and the fully realized devotees in the spiritual world, they have their spiritual bodies. Similarly, we have activities, spiritual activities. And we accept spiritual subordination. You know, the devotees in the spiritual world, not only are they all servants of Krishna, but they're servants of Krishna in a hierarchy. Dasa, dasa, anudasa, servant of the servant of the servant. That's the spiritual life. You're free, but you're serving Krishna by serving Krishna's servant and a servant of a servant of a servant of Krishna's servant. And that's your connection with Krishna. That's how the spiritual world works. So we give up, we're not working for anybody fallible, but we are working for somebody. In fact, we're working, we become 100 times removed servant. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant 100 times. But the people we're working for, that whole chain of command, is pure and transparent. Nobody's oppressing us. Nobody's cheating or unfairly exploiting us. In the spiritual world, there's no unfair exploitation. And in the material world, there's no relationship of subordination and domination where there isn't unfair exploitation. Even the most, you know, the closest thing is the relationship between mother and child. The mother, apparently, is serving the child selflessly. But even that is not always pure. There's always some tinge there. Sometimes you have neurotic mothers who are using their children to fulfill their desires they were frustrated in their life. And they want their son to become what they couldn't become. So that's using the child for your own purposes. It's also exploitation. So even the love of a mother for the child is not pure in the material world. What to speak of the sexual love between husband and wife? It's just desire for selfish gratification. But in the spiritual world, it's not like that. You're not exploited, you're not cheated, you're not being used unfairly by supporting, by becoming someone else's servant. It's what everybody wants, not to be master, but to be servant. That's what naturally people want in the spiritual world. Because that's where the real nectar of life comes from. From becoming servant of the Vaishnavas. To realize that means to become a citizen of the spiritual world. Even while you're still in this body, while you're still living here, you're actually a citizen of the spiritual world if you realize yourself to be servant instead of master. Okay? All right. Any other questions? Okay, please. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavad Gita.